Amen. Thank you so much, choir and team. And we're looking forward to Resurrection Weekend. And so remember this Good Friday and Easter Sunday for the sake of the world. We're continuing on this morning in our series, What If We Knew? What If? And we're going to be for 7 or 8 weeks on this series that is focused on a promise out of 2 Chronicles. This morning, as the worship team was singing, let's take off Pastor Jacobson's microphone. Thank you. This morning, as the team was singing about the name of Jesus, what I'd like us to think about today, as Christians, is this: what if we knew that we were called by His name? What if we really had a deep understanding that we were called by the name of, and would you say His name with me, please? Jesus. What if we knew that we were called by His name? And I'd like you to stand with me, please, and let's read together the text that's on the screen. This is the promise that we're focusing on out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 for these next number of weeks. Let's read it together out loud, please. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. And we call upon you, living God, to come into this space, to come into this house this morning, that we would understand that we are called by your name, and God, that we would be elevated to that place of trusting you, of believing you, even as we heard this morning via a word of prophecy, which always comes to encourage us, Lord, that we'd be willing to trust you, we'd be willing to step out of the boat, that we'd be willing to walk on the water so that we can see the good things that you've planned and purposed for us to do through the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said together, amen. Amen. Please be seated. You can follow along in your inserts. We need to understand, first of all, and you need to understand, you are called in Jesus' name. Now, you'll remember, as you've perhaps seen the Bible pictures, like the picture that we have on the screen this morning, or heard or read the Bible story, that Jesus, when he was here on earth, he walked by the seashore, and he saw some fishermen, and fishermen were doing what fishermen do. They were casting their nets, and they were catching fish, and this was actually their business. This was their livelihood. This was probably handed down from their father and their father's father, through the family line, that this was their profession. And Jesus saw them, and Jesus called out to them, come, follow me. Would you please say those three words with me? Come, follow me. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you're a Christ follower, if you're here this morning and you've said yes to Jesus, how many of you can remember the time and the place and the space when Jesus called your name? All of us can. If we had time today, all of you could come forward and you could come here and stand and tell us about the time and the place. It's not as though he physically appeared, but you are called in Jesus' name, and your call is no less important than the call that Jesus made to those brothers on the seashore. Your call is no less important than the call that's on the lives of the disciples. Your call is no less important than the call that's on the lives of the apostles. As Jesus said the exact same thing to you, come and follow me. And then interesting, he said this, and I'll show you how to fish for people. That's our goal. Our goal as Christians is to be able to take that which we have in our hearts and get it out there for other people to discover the call of God in Jesus' name. You're called in Jesus' name. And this call comes to us, this happens to us, when we choose to receive Christ Jesus as our Lord. And I was 18 when that happened. Even though I grew up in the church and I knew a lot about Jesus when I was 5 and 10 and 12 and 14 and 16, when I was 18, I answered that call of God. It happens when we receive Christ Jesus as our Lord. Someone put it like this: if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once if the Lord doesn't come. You need to be born again. And it's not about a religion. It's not about kind of joining a church group. It's not about finding a list of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. It's about a living relationship with the living God. This is how we receive Christ, but to all who believed him and accepted him. And so for me, it was 18. And I want you to fix in your mind, when was that? Because that's the most significant event that ever will happen in your life. That's the event that set you on the road that you are now on. When was that in your life that you answered the call of God? When was that that you believed and accepted him? Because to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And they are reborn. There's that born twice. They are reborn. All of you know your birthday. I mean, if I were to ask you, what's your birthday? You can tell me the month and the year, hopefully. But you also know when you were reborn. You also know when you received the gift of God through Jesus Christ. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but with a birth that comes from God. And as I've said, it's not a religion. It's not about joining some religious order. There was a good man, a good, very God-fearing man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus at night, and this is what he said to Jesus. He said, Jesus, listen, we know that you've come from God because no one can do the works that God has planned unless God was with him, and we've seen you, so we know that you've come from God. And Jesus kind of stopped him in his tracks, and he called him by name, and he said, Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. And so this born again receiving of Christ, it's not something that fathers and mothers can pass down to their children. It's something that each individual must choose. It's not a religious, it's not like coming to church, like coming to church into this building today. This doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger or going to Swiss Chalet makes you chicken. Like it happens, you're answering the call of God when you receive Christ as your Lord. But when you receive Christ as your Lord, you need to understand that Jesus Christ has given us full rights as God's children. How many of you have children? How many of you have children? I hope you're not thinking, I don't know if I have children. That would not be good. But if you have children, you know their names. You know when they were born. You don't have to think, how many children do I have? You know how many children you have. And when you received Christ, when you were called in the name of Jesus, Jesus gave you full rights as God's children. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. And so I want you to understand, you don't get into heaven up there. You get into heaven down here. You don't hope that maybe my good will outweigh my... No. Your good can never outweigh your bad because God is perfect. And that's why Christ came, and that's why Christ died on the cross. There is no child of God that doesn't know now that they're saved, and it's not boasting in themselves. It's boasting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. If you believe that, say amen. And so, dear children, we already know we're God's children. So we have this message to share with the world, and that's why we do things like For the Sake of the World this Good Friday and this Easter Sunday. I always pray it at Easter and at Christmas. I don't always just pray for our church, but I pray this prayer. I pray for any church anywhere that's doing anything outside of themselves. And so God bless all the churches all over the world that are reaching out in the name of Jesus, but help us by taking those tickets and inviting someone to this Easter presentation. You are called in Jesus' name. Secondly, you are complete in Jesus' name. Like once you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you don't need anything else. It's not like, well, I've got Jesus, now what do I need? No, Jesus completes you. Jesus Christ makes your life complete. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. What if we knew that we were called in Jesus' name? We'd understand that we're complete. We'd understand that Christ is alive in our hearts. So you also are complete. You can circle that word complete in your notes. You're complete. You're complete through your union with Christ, who is head, look, over every ruler and every authority. Understand this, Christian. When Christ is in your life, there's no other power that can have influence over you. It's not like I need Jesus or I have Jesus, now what else do I need? No, if you have Christ, you have everything that you need. If you have Christ, you are complete because every power and every authority must bow down to him, and he is alive in your heart. You are complete. That's what would happen if you knew that we were called by his name. You're complete in Jesus' name. You don't need anything else to complete you. And when you understand that you're complete in Jesus' name, then you understand, too, that when you go through certain things in life, when you go through certain seasons in life, when you go through certain tests or trials or hardships in your life, you understand that the same God that sent Jesus to die for you on the cross and raised him from the dead in the power of the Holy Spirit, that same God cares for you. That same God cares. He cares about your every need. In fact, he knows your every need. He knows exactly what you need, and yet he wants you to bring that need to him. He knows exactly what you're going through today, and he knows what you're going to pass through tomorrow, and he cares about everything that you're going through, and this is his word to you today. So let us come boldly then to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us in every moment of our need. When you come to God, he's going to give you mercy. That's something you don't deserve. And he's going to give you grace. He's going to bestow all of his riches upon your life at Christ's expense. And he tells us not even to worry about tomorrow. That's his instruction to us who are his children. Today, listen, today, this day has enough worry, enough care, enough concern for itself. So don't worry about tomorrow. But understand this, God's grace is sufficient for you today. He cares about your every need. And I want to say this too, to those of you that understand that you have been called by God, and to those of you that will refresh yourself to know that you are complete in God's call. Almighty God who called you is continuing his work in your life. Now, yesterday I was working on my computer, and how many have apples? Apple computers. I don't mean like apples like fruit. How many have Macs? I guess a Mac is an Apple. What's the other one called? Thanks. How many have Windows? I have Windows. Now, here's what I heard. Have you heard this? Macs never get sick. It's a big fat lie. Even Macs get sick. Now, yesterday I was working on just putting my pictures into the presentation. That's what I love to do on Saturdays. And so I was working on, and my computer was so sticky. I mean, it was so sticky that I had to go to Staples. I went to Staples because they installed the operating system on my computer, like the thing that they did the initial installation. And so I went in there and I got some stuff at Staples. And I don't know if it had the flu, a cold, or a stomach ache. I don't know whatever it had, but it's gone now, and it's more responsive. But I want you to know something about your operating system, Christian. Your operating system never gets sick because you have Jesus inside. You have Christ in you, and he is the hope of glory. And it's impossible for Jesus to get a virus. It's impossible for Jesus to get sticky. So you don't have to go anywhere else. You just have to simply go to Jesus because you are his daughter. You are his son. And concerning the work that God began in your life, let me tell you this. Paul says, I am certain that God, who began the work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. Has Jesus come back yet? Well, then God's finishing his work in you. You know, even sometimes when you don't feel like he's there, he's there. Even sometimes if you've been faithless, he'll be faithful because he began a good work in you, and he's going to complete it until that final day. Understand that you have Jesus inside. And when you understand that, when you have that confidence that Christ is in your heart, you know what that means? I'll tell you what it means. It means that today you can do it in Jesus' name. You can. I mean, yes, you can do that. And all you need to do is have the faith of a child. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is simply believe the word of the living God. All you need to understand is that Christ is with you. He's with you today. He's going to be with you tomorrow. He's going to be with you until you get into eternity. And today you can do it in Jesus' name. And you might say, well, I can't do it all. Yes, in fact, you can do everything through Christ who gives you strength. If you would believe that, would you say amen? Amen. You can do it in the name of Jesus because Jesus Christ is in your heart and in your life. Thirdly, if you really understood that you're called in Jesus' name, you would be confident. You would be confident in Jesus' name. It's not a self-confidence. It's a God confidence. It's a certainty of faith. It's a certainty of the cross. Do you know how in despair the disciples were when Christ died? It was over. all of their hopes and all. He was crucified, dead and buried, and they were in the room with the blinds drawn, thinking they're coming for us next. And then Jesus walked through the wall, praise God. And he said, here I am, look at me. He sat down, and over a period of 40 days, he appeared to many people, proving to him that he was alive. And if you understood that you're called in the name of Jesus, you would be confident in his name. And as we live in God, here's what happens. Our love grows more perfect. The more we grow in Jesus, the more we grow in love. The more we grow in a love for God, and the more that we grow in a love for one another, and the more that we grow in a love for those that don't know Jesus yet. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we won't be afraid on the day of judgment. There is coming a day of judgment. There's coming a time when even as Christians, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to take a look at our lives and how, this is not to get into heaven, but this is like where we're going to live in heaven and what we're going to do in heaven. This is how we're going to spend our eternity. This is why today matters. Your life down here on earth matters. We're going to stand and be judged for the works that we did in Jesus' name. It says, but we're not going to be afraid on the day of judgment because we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that you're all here. I'm so glad that I just want to take a survey because I did this in our heritage hour, the early morning service. I just want to take a survey. Did any of you get paid to come here this morning? I don't think so. Okay, this is a little dangerous now. Did anybody force you to come here this morning? Even if they did, don't put up your hand. I remember when I was 12, because my mom and dad, they took our family to church every day. I remember when I was 12, my mom came into my bedroom and said, come on, son, get up, we're going to church. And I was determined not to go, right? I said, I'm not going. Well, God bless my mother. How many of you have seen my mom, right? I mean, I was 12, I was still pretty tall, probably about 6 feet. Well, she said, come, son, we're going to church. And finally, she came in the room, she grabbed hold of my feet, and she yanked me right out of my bed, my butt hit the floor. And I went to church. But you know what? I know you're not being paid to come here today. You're here because God's call is on your life. You're here because Christ is with you. And you're here because the love of God is in your heart. And friends, you can pray with confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. And you are, friends, you are confident that he hears you whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know that he hears us, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. I'll tell you something. The more that you come under the influence of believers, and that's why we have ministry for children today. That's why we have a Sunday Morning Alive, Sunday school programs, if you will, or Sunday gatherings of life groups where we come together and we study the Word of God. The more that you come together, that's why we have groups in homes, so that the more you come together around the Word of God, around the people of God, the more you grow in knowing what God's will is, and we pray according to His will. Then we know that He's going to give us whatever we ask for. So you can pray with confidence in Jesus' name. Not only that, but you can participate. You can participate with confidence in Jesus' name. And the truth is this, all of you together, every one of you that have made that commitment to Christ, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you belongs. Each one of you has a function. And so you can participate with the gifts that God has given to you, with the calling that God has on your life. You can find a form and a function within this church to exercise what God has gifted you with. And we actually have a plan that we believe, it's a ministry goal, if you will, for people that come to this church, that call this church home. Our ministry goal is that you would have one major and one minor. A major function to the Lord, a SPA ministry goal, a major ministry commitment. Next slide, please. Thank you. A major ministry commitment is one time a week, that you would serve the Lord with your area of gifting one time a week. And a minor ministry goal is that you would serve the Lord seasonally, maybe in our children's ministry or in the nursery or somewhere. But when you serve according to your gifting and according to your calling in a spiritual sense, do you know what happens? You grow. It's no longer their church, it's my church. It's no longer what are they doing, it's what are we doing. And do you know physically, if you don't exercise your muscles, do you know what happens to your muscles? They atrophy. They atrophy, they become weak and you get sick. And it's the same spiritually. If you don't use the gifts that God has given to you, you atrophy and you're spiritually not healthy. And so you can participate when you understand that you're called and you're confident in his name. And not only that, but you can partner with confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a great big job that God has called us to do, and it's not just relegated to this building. In fact, it's not relegated to this city. It's not even relegated to this province or even this country. By the way, speaking of province, does anybody know what's happening on Tuesday? It's Election Day. I trust that every one of you as Christians has been praying. I trust that you found out who's running in your riding, and I trust that on Tuesday you're going to go and you're going to cast your vote for... Never mind. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But you should know. You should know. And so you can partner with confidence in Jesus' name. We're not relegated just to this province, not to this country of Canada, not even to North America, but the job that God has called us to participate in as the body of Christ is to the entire world. And we need to understand that. There was when the disciples were with Jesus and Jesus was teaching them and they were watching Jesus do many wonderful works, they had seen the disciples, someone else that was praying and delivering people in Jesus' name. And they came back to Jesus and they said, "Hey, we saw somebody who's not part of our group. And we saw that they were praying in your name and people were being delivered by demons. And we told them to stop." Jesus said, "No, don't stop him. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil against me." And then Jesus said this, "Anybody who's not for us is against us. Anyone who is not against us is for us," he said. And so we need to understand, even as Christians, and maybe even as Pentecostal Christians, that we need to be able to partner with other people. Let's find fellowship around the cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the virgin birth and the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and the fact that he's coming again. And let's partner with other believers to get the name of Jesus out so that people can go to heaven instead of die, which God never wanted anyone to do. We can partner with confidence in Jesus' name. What if we knew that we were called by Jesus' name? Fourthly, we'd understand that you are commissioned in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this is no small commission, as I was just alluding to, but it's a great one. So would you please say it with me? The text is on the screen before you. Let's say it together. "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Question, has Jesus come back yet? No, he's with you. He's with you. And he has a commission that he has placed over your life. And he has a commission that he's placed over our lives. Now, we just like we have a ministry goal, SPA also has a mission goal as a church. And here's our mission goal. Would you read it with me, please? We want to be loving God and leading people to the living Lord. That's our job. As we love God, we want to be leading people to the living Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heartbeat of God the Father. And your commission that God has given to you, it is worldwide. It goes into places that you've never even heard of. It goes into people groups that you've never even seen. You don't even speak their language. But your commission that God has given to you is worldwide. That's why we have a missions program in this church. That's why we have an opportunity to support those 23 missions families and agencies all over the world that are taking the gospel to places that we cannot go. We're enabling them to go. And that comes from our relationship with God and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Edmonton, throughout Alberta, in Canada, and to the ends of the earth." Well, I changed a few words there. But that's what Jesus said. Your commission is worldwide. And the commission that God has given to you, your commission is also welcoming. Your commission is not restricted to a few people. You know, your commission is not restricted to one kind of race of people or one kind of economic situation, but your commission is welcoming to everyone, and here's why. Everybody that's in the church understands that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. If that's true for you, say amen. That's how you get into the church. You get into the church by saying, "I'm a sinner and I need a Savior." You get in. Jesus said, "I didn't come to save those people who think that they're going to be okay. I didn't come to save those people who think that they have it all together." No. Your commission is welcoming. And so as you take a ticket for the sake of the world, and like there's packets of 25 out there for those of you that want to go into neighborhoods or want to distribute before this Good Friday and Easter Sunday comes, you can just give those people and say, hi, do you like music? You know, this Easter, we've got a great musical on at our church. Why don't you come? And if it's somebody you know, you could even come with them. And then you could take them out for coffee after, and you could just talk to them about how Jesus has made all the difference in your life. Your commission is welcoming. I guess the bottom line about your commission is this. Your commission is to win souls. That's why we're saved. We're saved to tell people about our Savior. Somebody said the gospel is like a beggar who's dying with no food, telling another beggar where to get food. And that's what it's all about. And the Bible says this. Those who win souls are wise. So what if we knew that we were actually called in Jesus' name? Well, you would understand this. You would understand, first of all, you're called in the name of Jesus. You would understand, secondly, that you are complete in the name of Jesus. And you would understand, thirdly, that you can be confident in the name of Jesus. And finally, you would understand that you are commissioned in the name of Jesus. I wanted to try to just, as I was thinking about your call in the name of Jesus, do an alphabetical, it's not quite completely alphabetical, but a little bit, and it's not exhaustive, it's just a little bit of a foretaste of the answer to the question, what would we be like if we understood that we were called in the name of Jesus? Well, in Jesus' name, you have been adopted, accepted, you have assurance, you're anointed, you have access to the Father, and you are an ambassador of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you've been born again, you have the blessings of God, and in Jesus' name, you are blameless. In Jesus' name, you have a calling, you're chosen, you're a child of God, you have confidence, and you have competence because of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you have deliverance, and you are fulfilling your destiny. In Jesus' name, you have eternal life. In Jesus' name, you've been forgiven, you have faith, you have fellowship, you have the favor of God, you're a friend of God, and in Jesus' name, you have a future. In Jesus' name, you've received the grace of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, you've received healing, and you've received hope, and you're going to heaven in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have inspiration, and you have an inheritance kept by God, your Father, for you in heaven. In Jesus' name, you have joint heir, you have joy, you're joint heirs with God. And in Jesus' name, you are justified. That means that when God looks at you, he sees you as just as if you had never, ever, ever sinned. In Jesus' name, you are a new creation. In Jesus' name, you have an open heaven. In Jesus' name, you have peace, you have potential, you have purpose, and you have power in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you can resolve yourself to live rightly. In Jesus' name, you've been restored, you have righteousness, redemption, and you are a royal priesthood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have salvation, sanctification, satisfaction, you are seated in heavenly places, you have security eternally, and you are servants of the Most High God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name is your triumph, and in Jesus' name is your trust. In Jesus' name, you have your vision for your life, and you have victory in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you can witness, and you are the workmanship of God in Jesus' name. And finally, in Jesus' name, you can display a zeal in living fully for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who came from heaven, went to earth, died on the cross, rose again, and is living inside each one of you who belong to the church, the body of Christ. If that doesn't excite you, then you're not a Christian yet. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And just like you came that day on the seashore, you're in this room today. And you're saying something very clearly to every individual that's in this room today. You're giving an open-ended invitation from heaven. You're saying these three words, come, follow me. Come, follow me. I wonder how many are here, and perhaps you've never answered that call to follow Christ, but today you've heard the gospel. Today you've heard the good news that Christ came from heaven and died on the cross for your sin so that you can be forgiven, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And today you sense that God is actually calling your name and you actually hear him. It's not like you don't hear him physically and you don't see him with your eyes, but it's with the eye of faith that you see him. And it's with the eye of faith that you hear him. And he's calling your name today and he's saying, come and follow me. Come and give me your life. Come and surrender your brokenness and your pain and your sin. And let me accept you as my child. And come and experience the newness of life that I can only bring. If you've never answered that call this morning, come follow me. But you want to receive Christ today, would you put up your hand wherever you are? I want to pray with you. How many would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus today. I hear him calling my name in my heart. Thank you. You can put your hands down in the center sections here. How many others would say, yes, I want to follow the Lord today. I sense him calling my name. And you would just lift up your hand so that I can pray with you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each of these that have expressed that desire to come to you today. And Lord, all they need to do is say yes. It's as simple as that. They just need to say yes to Jesus. It's just saying, Lord, I heard you and I say yes. I heard you, Lord, and now right now I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And I just ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and help me to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. I'll tell you something. As you do that, you'll never, ever, ever be the same. Because it's not about a religion. It's about a living relationship with the living God.